up, Internet, and welcome to episode 83 of Radio Radar. I'm Hollander Cooper, and here with me is...
Henry Gilbert.
Lucas Sullivan.
Lorenzo Valoria.
Anthony Schneider.
And this episode's a little weird because there are cameras looking at us.
Yeah, what's up?
our video team wanted to experiment with recording our podcast with a video camera, so there are three cameras currently looking at us, and one of them is a GoPro stuck to a wall that I guarantee you is going to fall by the
That's
end of this.
That's a tiny Arse GoPro.
And it's got like this little... gyro sensor thing, so when you rotate it, it just keeps the image stable.
That's the GoPro
Gamble?
Difference.
Is that what they call that?
So stabilization, crazy. Baby.
It's been a pretty cray week, but let's start by jumping into the top seven.
It's the top seven.
And it's the top seven silliest weapons in totally serious games.
It was weird that he do that without Tom talking over it.
It was, right? Yeah, he's a big fan of talking over any sound clip I play. But today, Tom is busy in a meeting, so I get to hit buttons without anyone talking over them. It's kind of magical. But yeah, let's...
This is like a fun follow-up to our more serious 100 best weapons.
We're just more serious in that it only had two dildos on it. Only two.
Wow.
Yeah, two dildos. And also the shark... homing shark gun. The land shark gun.
Right.
Land
yeah. Shark. Yeah. It was pretty silly, but while doing that, we realized that there are a lot of plenty silly video game weapons in very serious games.
Yes.
Starting with...
number seven.
The cardboard tube from Hitman Contracts.
Now, which one was Contracts? Was that the one everyone loves?
Yeah, Blood Money's the one that everyone loves.
Depends on who you ask.
I don't think we know enough about Hitman.
Contracts was, I think that was the last one before Absolution, and it like took place in between scenes. Though really, the chronology of Hitman is all over the place. Like, doesn't really matter. But Contracts was one of the later ones, and the series is a very serious series, but it's also known for silly things like
slight silliness,
dressing as a clown or the chicken suit.
Yeah, but you do what you got to do to kill people, and sometimes that means dressing in a chicken suit. But the thing that makes the cardboard tube so interesting is when you're dressing in a chicken suit, you're a man in a chicken suit
with a gun.
Mm-hmm. The cardboard tube is unbelievably powerful. It's like hitting somebody with a sledgehammer. Like if the cardboard tube was you hit somebody with it and it breaks and doesn't do anything, probably wouldn't be on this list. But this isn't just a cardboard tube. This is a cardboard fucking tube. It is like it has a reference to like the cardboard tube samurai from Penny Arcade in it because it is just a powerful ass tube that will destroy your enemies.
How do you unlock it? It comes kind of late, right?
I don't remember. I wrote it in the article, but that was like a day ago.
It's totally legit.
Ancient history.
Ancient history. But let's move ahead on.
Number six.
The broom from Assassin's Creed 2.
I didn't even know that was in there.
So there were a bunch of found weapons in Assassin's Creed 2. There was like a mallet and like a rake.
Was there that many things?
Yeah, there were
a few. I guess
a few.
Anything that the NPCs were like cleaning up the environment with, you could pick up and just beat the shit out of them.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, so when you pick up a mallet, I mean, I've seen my fair share of Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
You can do some damage with a mallet.
David Gallagher.
A rake, like a big metal rake. I get it. You stab through someone.
Ouch.
It worked in The Walking Dead. It would work here.
Pointy.
The broom in Assassin's Creed 2 doesn't break and is as powerful as a mace.
Yeah.
Despite having like straw bristles.
Yeah.
There is a wooden stick within that broom bristle.
It's a thin
thing.
Wooden stick.
Boom! Oh. Called it. The camera fell. Yes.
Wow, that was fast.
Called that shit.
Let's fix that.
Just try to stick it back up there. But so the broom, the thing that, and the broom has actually sort of attained meme status because of that. Because like people have done pictures, because you can like stab people through the chest.
Yeah.
With the bristles of the broom.
Let's do a lightning round pun off of how Ezio could, you know, diss the people that he kills.
All right, go.
That was a real clean sweep.
Brumilio Chestovic.
I swept you off your feet.
The camera fell again. We're just going to leave that camera there.
Jeez.
Please. Clean up on aisle dead.
That's a good one.
I got nothing.
These straws are dangerous.
Eat my dust.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it is good.
Check out Dust Force by Capcom, now on Steam.
Oh, God. Let's move on.
Number five.
The Cluckshot from Gears of War 3. Now, Gears of War has had some silliness in it. It's not totally uncommon for silliness, but it is usually unlockable stuff like the Cluckshot. And the Cluckshot is basically the Boomshot. Boomshot being a grenade launcher, except you have to do some ridiculous nonsense to unlock it, like shooting some weird chickens in some spots.
Oh, yeah. You keep have to, like, chase a chicken around a stage, and or you have to, like, shout into a...
Is that the golden chicken, the giant golden chicken that attacks you?
I think so.
I remember that golden chicken. But I thought it was funny when I first previewed Gears of War 3, like, or when at a multiplayer preview event. I don't know if it was the first time it was playable. But in the stage, like, here, look at that. It's a chicken. We got chickens running around, and you can shoot and kill that chicken. And I thought that was cool enough. But if they went to the trouble of making an AI chicken, they're going to use every part of that chicken.
Yep, and they did. So after you unlock it, it is a gun that shoots out chickens with explosives strapped to them. They, like, fly through the air, but kind of float a little. So they get the trajectory. It's a little bit like a Flappy Bird. And when they hit something, they blow the F up. And if you get an active reload and you do it, they blow up in multiple giant explosions.
Oh, wow.
A cluster cluck grenade.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. What was the joke that I put in the article? I don't remember. Talk about Kung Pao chicken.
Which we debated about spelling correctly or POW.
What are some other good puns you could do with shooting somebody with a chicken?
Cluck now you? That's what I call deep fried.
Ooh.
The yolk's on you.
That's an egg joke. That's not a chicken joke.
What lays eggs? Every creature.
Hens.
Let's see. Oh, okay, wait.
Cluck
this,
you.
Nah, you cluck you. All right, this is an attack most foul.
That's who's good. The chicken now?
Cluckmelio Chestovich.
We're not naming.
Works every time.
Cluck Gyllenhaal.
Cluck Jones is what I would call
number that's a good four. One.
Number four is the Swordfish from Prince of Persia: The Warrior Within. Somebody in the comments said it's from The True Thrones. I don't think that's the case. If it is, I'm sorry.
It doesn't look... He looks like he's in angst mode.
He does look like he's in angst mode. So, yeah, you can unlock a few weapons.
Okay, never mind. He's clearly in the Two Thrones.
Is he?
Because he has the blackened, charred lava arm.
I thought he had, like, a metal thing on his arm. It's a blurry-ass screenshot.
It really is. Someone needs to get on that.
Who cares?
It's wicked to deal with.
I just want
to... PS2 era Prince of Persia.
I just want to make fun of Warrior Within. That's all. That game was not... It was trash. It wasn't. Like, it had good stuff in it. Like,
but compared to Sands of Time?
But it was drowning in angst.
Please let me know when you're ready to hear more.
Looking at the YouTube video, it's totally Two Thrones. Anyway.
Anyway,
I'm actually going to change that article as we do this. But, so yeah, you can unlock a few different weapons, like a telephone and a...
like God of War style swinging.
But... The unlockable I thought was the funniest is the swordfish because it has the dumbest expression.
it's a trophy swordfish. It's the kind of thing you'd post on your wall proudly. Pose for a photo.
Just a big open mouth and giant eyes.
I think
are the video guys coming in?
Yes.
Video guys, we don't want to edit our podcast. What do you want?
It's time for retaping.
You're taping it back up? Okay.
Sweet tape.
All right. So but yeah, it's just a swordfish, which, I mean, you get the pun in there of the fact that you have sword, which I know
went
Lucas,
over my head.
I know. What?
I'm kidding.
I was going to say, if I know anybody who can freaks with some puns, you kill somebody with a swordfish, what do you say?
You say, now that's the catch of the day.
I'm so bad at puns.
Are marlins swordfish?
Miso swordy?
They're different.
Okay. It's a different breed.
Fish. You're hooked.
I mean, yeah, oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Let's see.
Did you say catch of the day already?
Yeah. I literally said that but moments ago.
Number three on the list are Quackers from Crackdown 2.
Quackdown 2.
Quackdown 2. So in the game, you can go to like a carnival because it ran
open
out of
world.
Ideas. Yeah. And you
carnivals.
You could unlock rubber ducks. And when you throw them, they stick to things. Their eyes start blinking red and they explode.
It's just pretty terrifying, really.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's meant as like a reference to, you know, PlayStation loves ducks, the rubber ducks.
They do.
For some reason.
Why?
Maybe they just used it in multiple tech demos. They're like, hey, look what our thing can do. Like the first one was, it, like with the PlayStation 1, they showed, hey, look at this rubber duck. Looks pretty good, right? And then for PlayStation 2, they're like, now we're going to fill this bathtub full of rubber ducks. And look at the water. And then with 3, they were like, we got a million rubber ducks. They even made
a game.
They made a game that was awful called Super Rub Dub, I believe it was.
Sounds sexual.
Right.
Did you guys ever have rubber ducks? Because I sure as heck did not.
I did.
No. I just got my toys and like my G.I. Joes.
I knew there were. Yeah, like boats. Yeah. I had like toy boats,
right.
But not.
That would mess up your toys though. You get all the soap scum on
yeah,
them.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, or rust the screws in the G.I. Joes.
Yeah.
That's why. And then Spider-Man the rust would get in your cuts. And you'd get tetanus. Not tinnitus.
T-Man would do okay.
Tetanus.
Tough actin, tenactin.
Though, well, I had a rubber ducky because I really, as a kid, I love the...
you hated bathing. You were very fussy.
The Sesame Street song, when Ernie sings about his rubber ducky. And
rubber ducky, and you're the one.
Rubber ducky.
So,
oh, wait. Yeah. Is that Mr. Bucket? Or
no, Mr. Bucket,
rabbit.
Put the balls in my mouth.
Mr. Bucket.
That's Mr. Bucket's song. And then it's what he says.
Rubber ducky.
And
first, you help me scrub my back. Then I've got a big fluffy towel to dry myself when I'm done. But there's one other thing.
This is Henry, by the way.
Time, the very best time of the whole day.
What time is
and
that?
And you know what that is?
What?
It's a very special friend of mine, my very favorite little pal. Oh, rubber ducky, you're the one. You make bath time lots of fun. Rubber ducky, I'm awfully fond of you.
I had a remix.
I had a cassette.
You just launch it,
and you destroy things.
I had a cassette of that as a kid growing up. There was also a sequel song called "You Gotta Put Down the Ducky," which where
grow up.
Well, no, it was
time to grow up.
It was a jazzy song where there was a jazzy owl who wanted to teach Ernie how to play the saxophone, but he
listen up, everybody.
Here he is.
We're going to hear from a dude who is truly cool and very fresh, but he's got a problem that he wants to lay on us.
What's the problem?
Come on in, Ernie, my man.
That's an Elmo's voice.
That was an owl.
Look on this rubber duck.
Excuse me, Mr. Hoots. I hate to bug a busy bird, but I want to learn the sax, and I need a helpful word.
You need a helpful word.
I always
word.
Get a silly squeak when I play the blues.
I remember this song really vividly.
Ernie, you're cool. I teach you how to blow the sax. I think I did your
Sammy
problem.
Davis
it's rubber and it quacks. You'll never find the skill you seek till you pay your dues.
Lucas, this song is really written about endurance.
You gotta put down the ducky. Put down the ducky. Put down the ducky. Yeah, you gotta leave the ducky alone.
You know, true story, I used to play the saxophone. I hated it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Hated it. So much.
Hit it.
Yeah, well, with your sax skills and Sophia's piano expertise.
And Ryan's guitar.
Oh, yeah.
You have three instruments that really don't go well together in a band.
I kind of play the bass.
They'd all be competing for
I'm just
melody.
Imagining you all, like, Ryan playing, like, like Ryan's...
Sophia was like... she went to like school for.
She's a pro. She's taught.
Oh, really?
She's taught piano.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Whereas I was just. Yeah. It was so. Like, okay, yeah, so my parents forced me to take saxophone lessons, extracurricular lessons, in addition to being in band class. And I remember thinking, like, saxophone teachers are always just a little bit creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And this one guy in particular.
Do they always have long hair?
Like, and then, well, no
the
hair
guy
on the top.
I had like a full goatee and was balding.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one time, like, he thought as a treat, he'd be like, hey, want to have a jam session sometime? And I was like, no. No, I would never want to do that.
Why didn't you have a jam session with
talking about a different type of jam.
Yeah.
I wasn't about
jelly
to find
involved.
Out.
Yeah. I don't think.
Hey, Lucas. But I love some easy listening saxophone.
Hey, Lucas. I'm your sax teacher. We're going to have a jam.
Let's have a jam session.
Yeah, I was in band, but my mom... was approved of it, but then my dad made fun of me.
What?
Well, after two years, I stopped.
Knowing your dad, from what you said, I'm sure I know the word he used to describe what he thought of you playing instruments.
I thought it was nerdy. I was just a nerd.
It's not the word I was going to go with.
No, but he was, well, it was...
What did you play?
The baritone. Like a smaller tuba, but...
just a tiny little tuba.
I mean, I liked it okay, but I also didn't have the dedication to learn it or to read music.
It's just a lot of commitment, and if you don't love the creation of music, then it's like, this sucks.
Well, and also, I just lack rhythm. Like, I'd always be like, I'd like read the note and be like...
They always had a... They had like... They never had the cool instruments at my school. Like, they would have the sheet, they had guitar, trumpet, drums, and it's like, well, of course I want the guitar, and they're like, oh yeah, we don't have that. Why is it on the sheet? Why? What I end up playing
the
trumpet.
It's so fun.
I did the trumpet, and
I hate it.
I did it for like half a year.
It looks like your cheeks are just
on
fire.
A frog.
The brass stuff. I was like the string stuff.
Yeah, freaking saxophones, you get the reed, the mouthpiece, it would get all funky.
You get the spit guard.
Yeah, and it would just be like... When you have to...
We should move on.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two.
Ready, go!
The hand cannon from Dead Space 2.
Isn't this one of the most notoriously difficult weapons to find ever?
Well, to unlock it, you have to beat the game... on the hardest difficulty in the hardcore mode, which means you can't die. Like, it's the permadeath mode. So,
good God.
If you can beat it on that high of a difficulty, then the next time you start the game, the first item you get is the hand cannon.
And then after you beat it on that hard difficulty mode, there's no point in playing the game at all.
No, you get the ass.
Yes. He actually says bang, 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 and pew, 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 pew. As he shoots it, because the hand cannon is just a foam finger.
Yeah, but then invisible energy is hitting guys. Like, it does damage. Like, it's more like gusts of wind or something.
It's like the force.
You don't see anything. It's almost like it's his imagination.
That's cool.
But it's unlimited ammo and all that, too.
Yeah, so you just point at things. No, he goes, pew, 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 bang, bang, bang. And they just get ripped apart.
Does it make the game not scary?
Well, you get it after beating the game on the hardest difficulty.
And to unlock that difficulty, you would have probably had to beat the game already like twice. So this would be your fourth playthrough. Like, the scares are over, you know? It's just for funsies.
Yeah. But it's really cool looking. I mean, it's a big foam finger. And that game, as I wrote in the article, it kind of makes sense considering how crazy Isaac has probably gone after... having gone through this on the hardest difficulty, he's seen some shiz.
Now, do you guys enjoy weapons that you get after beating the game this many times that essentially render the game easy?
Honestly, I have never beaten a game that many times to even want to get that.
I just wouldn't do it.
I think I did God
of War. There's
no
point unless there's like an additional ending or something really special, but a hand cannon? No thanks.
You can just watch the YouTube video. That's the thing. In this day and age, you'll hear, oh, there's this cool thing. Back in the old days, you go like, well, then I better play this game 30 hours so I can get that badge of honor. And I just go, oh, that's a YouTube video. Cool. And you move on with life.
Number one is the Ostrich Hammer from Red Faction Guerrilla. A lot of people asking why we didn't include Mr. Toots instead. Mr. Toots being a unicorn that farts rainbows. Personally, I think it's because that is almost too over the top. Whereas the Ostrich Hammer, the fact that they made it. So the Ostrich Hammer, it's actually started as an April Fool's joke. When Red Faction Guerrilla was announced, some people, I'm thinking on NeoGAF probably, pointed out that his signature weapon, the sledgehammer, kind of looked like an ostrich.
Had a beak.
Had a beak. So the reaction from the developers was for April Fool's to put an ostrich hammer in the game as like an April Fool's joke. But it actually made it into the final game. The thing about it for me that makes it number one is the game is fairly serious in tone. It's all about destruction. The ostrich hammer isn't just a hammer in the shape of an ostrich. You're literally holding the neck of an entire ostrich.
And does it like ragdoll around?
It ragdolls around as you swing. And you swing the ostrich's head at people and hit them with it and they go flying through the air because it's literally the power of a sledgehammer. But it's a flopping dead ostrich. It's
kind of Flintstones-y.
It is.
Almost, right?
Yeah, Yeah, that big floppy bird. Well, it reminds me more of the
floppy bird.
I'm sure someone's done that. But it more reminds me of Alice in Wonderland, the Disney one anyway, where they had to play croquet with the...
Oh, that's right. About that. She got the dopey one.
Yeah, it was just like... No, he went like...
He did your normal laugh?
Hey.
Wow.
And then the Cheshire Cat, like, pulled up the queen's dress.
Oh, yeah.
She's like, this will make her really mad.
Yeah. And she's like, he sexually harassed.
She's like aiming in her butt's like,
gross. That's weird. That's a weird thing to put in a kids' movie.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
it was
Disney, though.
It was not funny. Sexualized. Like
she had those big puffy white underwear from like the
granny panties.
No, they weren't even that. They were like bloomers. Which is what they call in Japan. If you've watched any anime like of high school girls when they wear like the sort of gym pants, they're called bloomers. They're like budumas.
Pantsus.
No, pantsu. Budumas. That's panties. Yeah. Those are panties.
Ooh. Panties.
Well, I've always in the UK, I see that they call underpants pants. Like I remember
what?
In well
they
yeah, in the
so what
in
do they call pants?
I think overpants. Pretty sure it's overpants.
Proper pants.
Trousers.
Trousers. Yeah, they call them trousers. Well, I don't know. I don't know what they call pants, but I do know that back when the Dead or Alive.
Back when the devil walked the earth.
Back when Dead or Alive 3D was coming out or was getting previewed, like Matt Cundy, one of the old UK editors, when he wrote up a preview for it, he was just the picture on it was just in big red, a big orange text on it, 3D pants. And I thought, what are you talking about? In this picture, it's just a girl in a bathing suit. Like, this isn't even pants. And so what he was meaning was 3D
bit of
pants.
A cultural difference. Mm. Cultural divide.
Any other facts about the UK while you're...
They don't really know what Yelp is. Like,
we discovered that recently.
Yeah, I found that out.
And they don't have Yelp?
What?
How do they find food?
And that they got Captain America before us. They got it last week.
I also read that there's a scene in the movie where Captain America pulls out like his to-do list based on like what did he miss in the when he was frozen, and they have it. It's different in the U.S. and the U.K.
Regional.
Though I think one of the references in the U.K. version was actually a reference to something in America, and it was something weird.
I know Andy hard up on the U.K. team when I told him. Like, he didn't even know it was out there last week. I told when I last talked to him, I said, I'm super jealous. You guys can watch Captain America like last week. He's like, oh, we can?
Huh? Wow.
He's not aware.
Didn't
of
even care.
Nope.
So that's it for the top 7 silliest weapons in totally serious games. That's, of course, why we talked about the British word for pants and Captain America. You can check out a new top 7 every week on GamesRadar.com. Follow us on Facebook. Do all that stuff. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, current events. Welcome back to Radio Radar episode 83. We're going to jump into the news and current events, starting with the Amazon Fire TV, Amazon's video game console. Oh, wait.
Or
Lucas,
not.
You wrote about this. Can you give some insight?
Yes. So Amazon put out the Fire TV, which is a living room desktop. No. What's the word I'm looking for?
It's a little square
with streaming of apps, and it can also support games because it has Android technology in it, which we saw with the Ouya. But Amazon can't seem to decide, is this a game console? Should gamers care? Or is this not for them? Because I received and saw a lot of coverage calling the Fire TV a console, which, you know, that's a word we associate with games at this point. One of the executives at Amazon, Peter Larson, who is in charge of the Kindle, he called it absolutely not a game console, which is...
Did he say absolutely?
He said...
app?
No, I wish he did. Maybe then I would buy into this. But it's very weird to hear, like, one of the major higher-ups who's presenting Fire TV say, oh, yeah, this isn't for games.
Certainly not. This isn't a game console.
Yeah, and it's a weird, like, do they think it'll be perceived badly if they hype up the gaming aspect, or do they just not care? And what makes it really weird is that Amazon has their own game studio, Amazon Game Studios, and they also recently acquired Double Helix Games, who made Killer Instinct and Strider.
And not just them, too, but
yes.
Also Kim Swift.
Kim Swift and Clint Hawking. Kim Swift, who worked on Portal, and Clint, who worked on Far Cry 2. So it's like all these, you know, fairly big players in the gaming space, and yet the Fire TV is not a gaming console? It doesn't really add up.
That's a lot of money to spend to get people to work on games that aren't that aren't a priority.
Yeah, and the games that are coming out for Fire TV, they look, you know, decently interesting. Mm-hmm. They certainly seem to have a wider breadth of content than the Ouya did at launch. But
yeah. I mean, it just has it promises thousands of games. They also did make a big deal that they have Telltale as well. Like, they're going to have The Walking Dead
and Disney, and Ubisoft, I think,
and Game of Thrones too. Like, so,
but it's not a gaming console. Just
well, but just I was thinking about this week too, and I think it's more so that just they don't want they feel like they'll be like ghettoized or whatever if they
lumped
if they
in
say,
with
yeah they're like, oh, we're a game console. Well, then Granny doesn't like, oh, I don't want video games. I want to watch Downtown Abbey.
Just get me a Roku.
Yeah. Well,
which I'm never gonna set up, yeah, because my son didn't set it up for me.
God, they did it on Christmas, but it broke. And I'm
it's
fine.
A Roku.
Did everyone set up a Roku for their parents at one point in time? Because I did.
I
sure
need to.
I set up a Chromecast.
I set up Netflix.
She was like,
on
I have no
Wii
use for that. I have Amazon Prime. I was like, that's the only thing that isn't on here. Taking it back.
Yeah. Well, now you can get, if they have Amazon Prime, now the Fire is the thing to get them.
I plugged in my Chromecast. Yeah. I plugged it in.
Congratulations.
It, and I've never used it since then.
See? See? No point. Sounds cool on paper.
But with this, I can kind of see a point. And like you were saying, there are people who are like, I might not want it because it's a video game console. But like, I could see people, especially with Telltale game. I think Telltale probably has the biggest coup of all in this, because it's like, hey, I know you don't like video games. Interactive
like
novel.
Dead, don't you?
Yeah. Interactive novel based on Game of Thrones. Do
bam
it.
Bam.
Do it.
Well, though, I mean, it's not, I don't think it's a huge gap, because Telltale puts their stuff on everything. That's their goal.
Yeah, but nothing that isn't a video game console.
Oh, that's true. That is true.
And this kind of isn't. It's it's a phone.
It's in a weird middle space right now.
Also, I was surprised when I went to Amazon, the Fire TV page, you know, for the order page, and they have a list of...
Did you buy one?
And I did not. I don't need it. That hasn't stopped me from buying lots of things on Amazon when I don't need them. But I haven't bought this. But it had, you know, this thing that showed, what can this do compared to, you know, Roku, Chromecast, and all these, and its competition. And it listed, oh, we have all these things that other people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
But then for some reason they included HBO Go on the list, even though they don't have HBO Go. Like, it was the one thing where, like, they don't have HBO Go and all their competitors do.
That's
and I thought it was
bizarre.
Weird they included it even. Like, why'd you have it other than just to be maybe just for honesty
transparency
sake, just to be like, oh, look, we don't have HBO Go. But we got everything else.
They promote the fact that they have Minecraft Pocket Edition. And I saw some people on Twitter making fun of it. It's like, oh, okay, Notch, I understand. Amazon, a giant corporation that collects people's information and uses it to sell ads to them, totally fine. Facebook,
jeez,
which does the exact same thing, creeps you out. But Amazon, oh, they're whatever.
A-OK.
Go ahead.
Okay.
That is That is kind of weird. If you're gonna draw the line with one thing, you kind of got to do it with all of them. Then, like, but if he, I mean, maybe he just likes buying stuff on Amazon while Amazon's helped him out in regular life, so he has some favor for them compared to Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other big news story this week: Amy Hennig, who has recently left as the creator, she was like the director of the Uncharted series,
and writer.
She was the person behind Uncharted, left and was kind of, nobody knew where she was going. There were a bunch of rumors, but landed at Visceral making their Star Wars game.
Oh, I know. It's going to be it's interesting because like Henry wrote about a couple weeks ago, they're kind of just saying that the Star Wars games are like, they want to emphasize that all the Star Wars games are going to get the proper, like, Batman Arkham Asylum treatment, where
good licensing,
good licensing, good people behind the games, and they're going to be real high quality, because, you know, we're used to the Force Unleashed games, and
well, that's one of the higher end ones, really. Yeah, like, sure. I when I think of crummy Star Wars games in recent memory, I just remember the day. So my friends and I had just seen Revenge of the Sith, and we were like, oh, man, I'm so hyped for more Star Wars things. Well, let's play this game. The game just came out on PS2, and we played that, and we're like, ugh.
It was so bad.
It was just so average.
Yeah, but if you look back, I'd say that Star Wars has a better ratio than most licensed games.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, like,
Jedi Outcast. You have Captain America or Batman or something like that.
Yeah, or Spider-Man or anything. Yeah. You have Knights of the Old Republic. You have the Jedi Outcast series. You have Republic Commando. You have X-Wing. Like, they have a really solid batting average. And even the bad ones, like Force Unleashed, isn't great. But you know what it is? Super fun and very playable.
Well, that's why this is kind of really exciting, because, you know, you had BioWare behind Knights of the Old Republic and, you know, all these really good developers. And now you're getting really good developers behind the newer games, like DICE is handling the new Battlefront. And, you know, Visceral is doing whatever this new one is, which
I like
could
that,
be whatever the hell it is.
I mean, I'm happy, like, happy that Visceral, like, they're like, listen, you guys did good with Dead Space. Yeah. You did good with Dead Space 2. Dead Space 3 is probably our fault.
Microtransactions.
You're just here is Star Wars. Like, our apology for making you do what you did to Dead Space 3 is Star Wars and Amy Hennig.
Yeah.
Like, Amy Hennig is crazy respected in the industry. There's very little cynicism that follows her around.
Yeah, it's a big get to get her in charge of it. And so if they want to make a serious, like, solo action fun game
Han
in Star Wars.
Solo.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
I mean,
said.
That is the other. See, you said you weren't good at puns.
Yeah, did you read his article? It was 3/4 Star Wars quotes. We did very well, by the way.
Yeah, it got shared a lot. But read that article. I wrote it up yesterday. It's basically
hot
about
off the
Amy Hennig joining Visceral. And what kind of first came to my mind when this happened was, you know, since Star Wars 1313 was such like Uncharted sort of kind of game, that, you know, it looked like Uncharted, that, you know, this could be a chance to, like, pull that up and, you know, revive that franchise right there. But I don't really think it's going to happen. I really think that she's going to come in and they're going to make something totally unique, because all the Star Wars EA people have been saying that they don't want to really tie the games into the movie. The movies, the new trilogy that's coming out, and the spin-off movies that are rumored. They're rumored to have a Boba Fett and Han Solo movie, and maybe a Yoda movie. So
that'd be weird.
Yeah, I think the Yoda thing would be just
the
weird.
Boba Fett.
You'd what if it was a Pixar Yoda movie?
Yeah, I'm
kind of
down for that. I don't know.
I only want Yoda.
I like computer animated Yoda from the Clone Wars. He's so awesome.
Flipping all over.
I only like a puppety, decrepit Yoda.
That's because you're an old, bitter
old school.
Who has no fun left in your soul.
The Clone Wars Yoda is pretty awesome. I really.
But I love when you can see Yoda move his mouth, like, you know, fingers are behind it. It was
again, and I'm an old bitter man. Like, I only like things that I don't like being tricked. Don't you dare show, like, if I see a puppet,
change.
I want to see the hand from underneath. I want to know that there's an underpaid actor with his hand up Yoda's ass, crunching his fingers to speak in cryptic rhyme.
I'm not talking about the Clone Wars Yoda from the movie, the Clone Wars movie.
I mean,
Yoda, the not the,
you could
whatever.
Have been if I you mean, wanted to.
The show,
but it's cool. Begun. Yeah, this Clone Wars.
No, I wouldn't be surprised if they. I definitely think they are going to do like, you know, a full film. They're just going to follow like the Marvel model that's done them so well that they, the Avengers is the episode number for Star Wars,
right?
And then in between you get the other characters.
Yeah, like, and I think that's cool too because they don't really go, especially when Lucas had the movies going, and it was like Phantom Menace, then it's 10 years later, then Attack of the Clones, and then it's like 5 more years later, and all this stuff happens in between. You're supposed to know what's going on. You really don't.
So Star Wars question.
Yeah.
And you look very happy right now. So they're doing, let's say 2015 is new trilogy start. Uh-huh. 2016 is Boba Fett.
Right.
What if the Boba Fett movie's really good and they want to make a sequel? Where the fuck would that fit? Oh. Or do they just start doing 2 a year?
You know,
I feel like they could do 2 a year.
I think they've mentioned that the spin-off movies don't necessarily need to tie into the the trilogy movies.
Sure, yeah.
So they could just do, like, if they wanted to do a Han Solo origin story, they could do that, and that's way before like all the new pre
how he first
stuff.
Met Chewie, I guess.
How I met your Chewie.
Yeah, how I met your Chewie, and like how he, you know, birthed some Jedi twins and stuff like that. But you know, I really don't know how they would do sequels with, you know, characters.
It's gonna be
like Boba Fett.
It's gonna be like Modern Warfare. Like they're gonna have to be like Star Wars, Boba Fett Tales, Episode 4.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really know what they're gonna do with Boba Fett. He's not really that compelling of a character. He's just a guy that stands around
and looks cool in a
helmet. I mean, he looks cool.
I would
cool.
bet there'd be a Boba Fett origin story.
I mean, the rumor that's going around now is that movie is going to start off with the Boba Fett we've seen in the previous movies, being shot in the back and having his stuff stolen by a random guy who assumes
that
identity.
But
make it super Western.
The thing that they would have to do, right, they would have to go back into the original trilogy and change Boba Fett's voice back to not the clone guy's voice.
They could just make him make him do an impression.
Oh, God.
So much work.
Maybe he has a voice modulated.
Yeah, in the helmet.
That doesn't make sense.
I think Darth Vader has one.
I just want them to go back and change the original trilogy back.
Change it back.
Other big news story from this week, and it's actually about a big news story for next week. Super Smash Brothers Nintendo Direct coming on Tuesday.
Maybe they'll finally name the freaking game.
I think it's just going to be called Super Smash Brothers.
I think it's just going to be called Super Smash Brothers for Wii U. Like, I think it could just stay.
That's so lame.
Well, what are they going to call it? Super Smash Brothers Tussle? Or
Rumble.
Universe.
Why not? Anything. Something. Yeah. Some kind of acronym.
But I'm excited for it because they've had a steady leak of information, or not, well, trickle, not leak. They didn't leak anything. But there's been a steady trickle of info. And then, you know, it's just kind of stopped in the last, like, there hasn't been a character announcement in over a month now since Little Mac. And, Diddy Kong. But yeah, we've been, Diddy Kong was a week after. It's still been over a month. But we expected Yoshi to get announced last month in March, and it didn't happen. And now we also wondered, when is there going to be a Nintendo Direct? There should be one in April.
Yep.
And now it's both of these together, and that it's only Smash Brothers, a game that they've like been very sparing with.
They've released over 100 screenshots and only like 2 minutes of footage. Like haven't seen the game that much, all things considered. They just keep, like, there are trailers that show stuff off, but they haven't been like, all right, so there's a level creator, or okay, here's how online multiplayer is going to work. Like, all of the actual details haven't been revealed yet, which is kind of cool. We've seen it so much and know so little.
Yeah. You know what Henry, go.
And it could just also be about bigger online details. Like, they haven't talked about how online would work, or, you know, like how Mario Kart is going to have something.
They're going to have some kind of online.
They're going to have some online component for like sharing stuff.
I mean, they had it in the last one. It was the Mii channel, Mario Kart channel. And they had it on the 3DS version. So there's going to be an evolution of that.
I wonder what kind of user created things.
Drivatars.
Oh my!
Yeah.
Smash Bros.
User created stuff in Smash Bros.
I've been waiting for years for a fighting game to just be like, all right, we've noticed that when you play Mario, you spend 14% of your time in the air, you spend 10% of your time running, you always, in this case, go for this thing. So we're just going to create a character that you can send to your opponents and vice versa. And that will be like, this is about how they play. I feel like that would be information that would be not that difficult to turn into a playable character. Just it would just be modifying the AI.
Guys, let's place bets now. How much do you want to bet that Nintendo will still not realize that players want stock as the default play mode, not time?
No, I bet it'll stay. I'm betting Sakurai prefers timed, and that's it. And it's kind of his.
No point. One plays that way.
I play timed sometimes. You know what? You know why?
I hate time.
Here's why I play timed sometimes. Because not everyone I play against is as good as me, and I don't want them to be kicked out of the game so quickly. So when I play with Lorenzo over here, he's not wailing like a baby when I knock him out in 10 sec.
Remember how Zach said he was good at Smash Brothers? I never saw anything coming.
Never saw those skills.
Well, meanwhile,
I'm just warming up, guys.
Well, meanwhile, like Amber, like she didn't talk it up, but she did really good when we played.
No, remember at Casey. Gamers Intern?
Yeah, Casey,
fucking
yeah,
she was ruined us.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she picked Pikachu.
With
so
Pikachu,
get
yeah.
the
it doesn't even
out.
Count.
Yeah, but it was pretty impressive.
Anyway, the last thing I'm going to say about the Direct is that I think it is interesting that Nintendo showed us a bunch of stuff. Like we got to see Kirby, Golf, Mario Kart 8.
We played two full things of Mario Kart.
And we could have, like, they could have put that all in a Direct as well. So I think it's interesting that they said, no, we got to, let's just get those out of the way. And so we can have all this time just for Smash Brothers. And I can't imagine they won't have a release date.
I can't. Yeah. This is Nintendo, Henry.
No, they've been better with release. They will have a release month. They will say they'll have a season. They will say fall.
You ready? You ready? And I am excited and be excited to play it by the end of 2014.
Yeah,
moving on.
He'll say
this
that.
Is 4 minutes in, by the way. Moving on. Mario Golf is coming out, and I know we said we were going to stick to Smash Brothers, but here is 18 minutes of footage. Yeah.
This was a Smash Brothers thing, but before we start that, he does that every time. Where like ahead of time
NES
they say,
remixed.
Oh, this is just a Wii U focused one, and then at the start he goes, you know, there are some 3DS games though that I'd really like.
Now I'm going to throw it to Richard in the treehouse. Thanks, Reggie. Thanks, Iwata. You know, we have a lot of cool games that came out 18 years ago, and we're going to make NES Remix 12.
Yep.
I love Nintendo Directs, by the way.
They're fun.
They're pretty cool.
I just like the webpage.
I enjoy them.
And then you get the nut. They haven't been as silly recently. Remember when the Year of Luigi was announced and Iwata went like, gets whispered to by a guy in a Luigi costume and goes, how are there so many Luigis here? And then, like, then just stares dead-eyed into the camera and 20 Luigis appear. And he's just staring like, they've kidnapped me, but they have my family. Like, it was so good.
Yeah, I want to see him dress up more. I'm betting Sakurai will be all over this one. But Sakurai is not a silly guy. He seems to take Smash Brothers deadly seriously.
Yes. So that's the news from this week. And while we're talking about it, let's roll over to Mario Kart, which Henry and I both played.
And I played it, too.
Lucas, nope. You didn't. Wait your turn.
I got to play twice, once at GDC, and then again they brought it by here. And the GDC one, it really was like something that hasn't happened to me at a game event in a while, where they're just like, okay, you just play Mario Kart 8. Here's the tracks.
Go nuts.
Here's the characters. Go nuts. And it like started. Well, actually, it was supposed to start at 6. It was more like 6:30 when it started. But
important detail to the story.
Anyway,
what time did it start, Henry?
I start playing, and I'm just having fun. And Lucas and Donnie are there, our intern. And then I'm just what seems to be playing for a very short amount of time. And then Lucas and Donnie come by. They're like, "Hey, so we're getting out of here. We got to go." I was like, "What? All right, sure, slackers. See you later." Go off to your party or whatever, and then after I finished the race, after they had left, I looked at my phone and it was 8:15.
Oh, good.
And yeah, like they were leaving at the right time. Nintendo would just let us keep playing, like they didn't care. That was also what was cool, that the Nintendo people who were there, they were having a lot of fun with it, and I don't think it was faking. I feel like at other press events, you might see PR guys going like, this game's so cool, I love playing it. But it felt a lot more genuine at this Nintendo event. Like,
yeah.
They were having internal tournaments while we were there.
And they were trading, like, hey, what's your favorite combination of wheels and carts and glider?
Yeah, it was great. And then they came by, and you played it with me, too.
I played two full courses.
Three cups.
Two cups.
It was so beautiful.
It really was. Yeah. Visually, it's so much more impressive than you expect. It's running, I think, at 60 frames a second.
Ooh.
And God damn, does it look good.
Those 60 frames.
It looks really good, and I had a ton of fun. You can read the previews on. Yeah. We have some more features going up next week. I'd say what do you think the biggest changes are? The biggest change I think is the new change to items.
Yeah, well, I do think the anti-grav is seemingly the big change, and it changes the race course layout a bit.
Right.
But items are a bit different now.
Like, yeah, before you grab a shell, you hold the shell button, or you hold the attack button, and the shell sits behind you, and you go and you grab another item. Now, that's still considered an item you have. You can't let things trail behind you, even like banana peels.
Well, you can do it for defensive reasons, but it still takes up your slot.
Right.
You don't get to double pack items that way.
Yeah.
Did you get to try the new boomerang?
Yeah.
Shot?
That,
really
thing
cool.
is
it
amazing.
It was like the green shell, except you get two chances to hit
something. Yeah, and you can hit the whole pack of...
There and back again, a boomerang's tail.
Aren't they doing a thing, too, where you could choose which items will pop up, so you could have all bananas or no bananas?
Yep.
I did not know that.
You could take out the blue shell now, and...
Oh, shit.
I think it's kind of like how Smash Brothers does it, where you have the list of items, and you can switch them on.
That's amazing.
Does everyone here have a Wii U?
No.
No.
Just Henry and I?
Yes.
Yep. Well,
you guys ought to get it.
I'll get one.
I will have one for Smash Brothers.
If
so.
What about for Mario
Smash
Kart?
Brothers, just get, if you're get it for Smash Brothers,
Here's the reason. I will.
Here's something we were discussing, and this is important to the people listening because it doesn't reference them at all. Everyone one day is going to have to bring in their system, set it up on their screen, hook it up online, and play online. Everyone
single
in
screen.
The same room.
Yeah, that's. I'm down.
Old school style.
Old school LAN.
Land party. I'm up for that.
Yeah,
so, cool.
I can't wait. And no, but yeah, it was. It was. You've never seen a Nintendo game look that good. Like, it's so different.
It's weird.
Does it look better than like? Does it look better?
It's not
than
right.
Gran Turismo 6.
No,
maybe not. But
well, in its own way,
it's stylized.
Way. Yeah, it's so stylized, so colorful. And there's little to. I love how their headlights turn on in caves and stuff, or in alleyways.
Tunnels.
Also, the retro levels are changed so much too. Like the
barely recognized.
It's not just when the Super NES levels they had to play. Like they still have like red and blue blocks around, but then now there's some anti-grav portions where you drive across the air.
One of my favorites is like a donut style level, or sort of like an oval. That is the one. I think it's from like the original game where it's just a big ass oval. But now half of the oval is vertical, and you hit anti-grav and go up and around and then hit back to the ground.
That's cool.
And it's like you don't really notice it the first time, but then when you're driving towards it and you just see people go like whoop up, it's really cool.
And Toad's Turnpike too is great.
I loved Toad's Turnpike. I'm so happy it's back.
Meow. And we didn't get to play it, but the N64 Rainbow Road is back in it too. So, which makes this music appropriate.
I wonder if they'll keep in the shortcut.
No,
there were a lot of shortcuts. I didn't get to try out, but I saw them to the side. And I was like, wow.
Did you play as Shy Guy?
I played as
Ludwig von Koopa.
Only played as Koopalings. Because there are seven of them.
Yeah,
seven?
Oh, Roy. Yeah, it's all seven of the Koopa kids.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Roy, Wendy-O, Ludwig von Lemmy, Iggy.
Snapsel.
Morton Koopa Jr. And one I forget.
All of whom play second fiddle to the true king, Baby Bowser.
There's no Baby Bowser in this game.
I know, I'm sad.
There's Baby Peach and Baby Daisy.
I don't think they ever show up together.
No, they show up in the new Mario games.
Oh, that's right.
So yeah, that's it for the current events. We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, jump into the community segment. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Radio Radar, episode 83. We gotta jump into the community segment. And before we go...
Corrections.
You screwed up.
Lucas.
Huh?
EAC73. One minor correction, Lucas. Lucas, you mentioned the Pokemon episode that caused seizures, and you said it was electrodes that caused it. Not so!
You screwed up! When it was actually Team Rocket shooting a missile at Ash and this gang riding a Porygon.
Riding a Porygon?
Yeah, it was in the Porygon episode.
Why would that cause lights to flash?
It was the one that had the most coloring in it. Like, the Porygon was inside a computer, so it already had a bunch of crazy colors.
Oh, so it's like, okay.
That's
like
the one that had the most colors. Remember in the first – did you guys talk about this last week, I guess? In the first season of Pokemon, they darkened every flash in every episode because of fears of causing seizures. Mm-hmm. Like,
essentially, yes.
But it was that specific collection of colors in that one episode.
And I think it was like a very prolonged amount of time that you were staring
also,
at.
Also, here's a fun fact. Porygon is his name in Japan and America, one of the Pokemon that shares a name.
Sure.
And it is because of the way Japanese people pronounce polygon.
They don't have L's.
Porygon.
All right, I got the footage of the
Cesar Chavez.
I don't know how the audio is going to be, but we're all going to watch it and get seizures real quick.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm going to look at oh, that's so loud.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, it's still going.
Oh, really?
That is
so weird. Everybody was like, ah! And then the kids are like, ah! And the parents are like, ah!
So, yeah, it's a lot of flashing colors. You know what it looks like? You ever get, like, a stuck pixel in a screen and turn on, like, a pixel fixer? That's basically what it looks like. Yeah. Except it's firing out of rockets.
And that was literally 90% of the screen.
Yeah. So, let's jump into the question of the week. Last week was, which video game character do you think has a secret there? Which video game character do you think has a secret they're hiding? Lucas, why don't you read this first one?
Sure thing. Testakill says, I think Clementine has Gary Coleman syndrome. She's actually a middle-aged woman with the appearance of a child. She uses this to her advantage by posing as a child to manipulate other survivors, helping her avoid dangerous situations and responsibilities.
And that was Testakills.
Banquo's stepson says, Mario is secretly planning to take over the Mushroom Kingdom through a people's revolution. Hear me out. The reason Mario doesn't
Don't
just
read this whole thing. It's really long.
Bowser. When the revolution succeeds, Bowser will then come forward and pledge his fealty to Mario. Good word, because Bowser cannot best Mario in battle. Mario will then make good on his promise by giving Bowser and his people the Badlands of the Mushroom Kingdom. Don't know how that's a secret.
So it's basically
that's the secret Mario has.
Yeah, that's the secret he has. He's basically doing that.
He's plotting this whole time to weaken the kingdom and then take over.
Easy Peasy Lemon Squeezy says, Marcus Fenix has a huge Barbie collection. I know, right? Vent says, Tali from Mass Effect has a secret. Forget about that photo of her on Shepard's desk. That's just a lie so Shepard can sleep at night. What's really under that mask is a gooey purple predator face. Since Shepard is such a pro, he didn't even flinch when he removed Tali's mask, just so that he didn't look like a giant douche. Good of him.
Nice. Yeah.
And Winner2 says, I think Nathan Drake's got plenty of secrets. He is the definition of that gorgeous man with a fascinating past and secrets.
The winner this
week,
though,
I would like to know what the secret is.
The winner this week, though, is Vent. I like the idea of just Shepard sitting there, and she's like, we're going to have sex, takes the mask off, and he's looking at her predator face, and he's just like, okay,
yeah,
I can do this. So Vent.
In his head, he's screaming.
Send a message to radioradar@gamesradar.com, and we'll get you something from the office.
Something cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, question of the week from this week. What's your favorite video game weapon of all time?
That's a good one.
Oh, that's a good
one. The guitar from Devil May Cry 3 Special Edition. It's pretty interesting.
That's a good one. It's very spiky.
Yes, very much so.
I like the Farsight. I don't think that the game it comes from, Perfect Dark, is necessarily playable anymore, but I loved the fact that you would just look through walls and shoot your friends. It was really rewarding, and they'd get very angry.
I'm going to go with the Farsight because – no. You said it as I was thinking of it. No, I'm going to go with the Tanuki Tail because I just love the sound it makes. And then that a raccoon tail is powerful enough to break bricks. I think that's a pretty badass Tanuki Tail. And it has the bonus power of turning you into a Buddhist monk statue.
Which is just wild.
I'm going to go with the lightsaber from – Jedi Outcast.
I'm shocked.
Because it's the best Best use of a lightsaber ever. It's not just a glowing stick.
Because it can actually make holes in
yeah,
walls.
And you could draw stuff. Like, man, just do that again. Star Wars games.
God dang
do it again.
I think I have to go with the double barrel shoddy in Doom. I ended up writing that entry and remembered, like, wow, this is one of the most satisfying weapons of all time. It's amazing.
Quite satisfying.
Yeah.
So leave your response and aim for something that isn't on our 100 weapons list. Yeah. Why don't you? Unlike Lucas and I, who
cop out
did ones that we specifically
McGee
wrote.
Lightsaber was on that list,
yeah,
too.
Was on there too.
All right, fine.
But I said one I didn't write.
All right.
I was the most creative.
You're better than
here.
Us, Hunter.
Hey, also, iTunes reviews, right? Huh?
Yeah, how about those?
People those. I really like when we get iTunes reviews.
Yeah, you should definitely write an iTunes review about how good the cameras are in this room that we're in right now. Even if this video doesn't end up posting, explain how much you like the fact that this is a video podcast now, even if it isn't.
How your favorite part was when the GoPro slammed into the,
mm-hmm.
the
twice. Mm-hmm. Twice. Yep. I totally called that. I'm very happy.
Yeah.
This day is okay now. So that's it. Like, subscribe. Wait, that's YouTube shit. Comment, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We're going to be tweeting more from the GR Radio Radar Twitter in the near future.
Deals.
Some behind the scenes. No, not deals. That's going to be behind the scenes in the office.
Oh, wow.
Funny things that are said. Whoa. And the like. And we'll talk to you next week.